It is my turn to teach tonight. I will be in Proverbs chapter 6 for most of my lesson time if you have a Bible. If you don't, that's fine. You can just listen as I teach. And you guys know me. What do I always like to do?
Review.
I always like to review. I like to review even back to the very first lesson we had because that's really important for Proverbs. We talked about how the main theme for Proverbs was being teachable, being able to listen when people are teaching you or guiding you or directing you. People like your Sunday school teacher or your pastor or ABC Kids teacher or your parents or grandparents. You know, people who love you, who want what's best for you. Come on, guys. Come on. Okay? And we talked about that is the theme for Proverbs, being wise enough to know that you don't know everything and being willing to listen and being willing to learn. Okay? And we talked about that, what's that song we often sing? We didn't sing it tonight, but it's one of the main kind of themes of all the book of Proverbs. What's that song? How does it go, Ian? The fear of the Lord. Excellent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay? So a fool says, oh, I know everything. I'm not going to listen to my pastor or my Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm so smart, I know everything. But that's the foolish way, the Bible says. Okay, fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to be taught. They don't want to learn. Okay, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, or the beginning of wisdom in another verse of Proverbs. And what did we say the fear of the Lord was? Was that like you're so scared that the Lord's going to be mean and hurt you and we should hide and cower? No. I broke the fear of the Lord into three things. Anybody remember what those three things were? Maybe one of them? No. In this sense, the fear of the Lord comes down to reverence, submission, and humility. Anybody remember what reverence is? Close, you're on the right track. It's like deep respect for somebody. You care what they say, and you listen to what they say, and you give a good amount of importance to what they say. Okay? And how do we know what God is saying? Well, we read His Word. We read the Bible. Okay, what about submission? What if you said you were going to submit to somebody? What does that mean? What does that mean? Anybody know what submit means? Roman, do you know? No. Close.
Trust somebody,
you're on the right track. If you're going to submit to somebody, like maybe submit to your teacher, or maybe submit to the pastor, or maybe submit to your parent, if you're submitting to them, you're going to...
Turn in whatever you're saying.
I think it means to obey them, okay? To accept their authority, okay? They're in charge, all right? So obviously God is in charge. We should submit to Him. When we read God's Word or we learn a lesson from God's Word from our Sunday school teacher, okay, we should listen to that lesson and learn from that lesson and obey that lesson, okay? Submit to their authority. And then humility. We should have humility in terms of fearing the Lord, okay? We should know that He's in charge. We're not. We should have no arrogance, no pride, not puffing up our chests, not bragging on ourselves, okay? So if we're having fear of the Lord, we're having reverence, we're submitting, and we're showing humility. And that theme runs all through Proverbs, okay? Last week, anybody remember who the teacher was last week? Had a small crowd because it was kind of rainy. Who was the teacher last week for ABC Kids?
I'll give you a hint. He's also the cameraman.
Yeah, Mr. Ryan. Yep, and he taught about how, in an earlier lesson, we talked about personification, where wisdom was described as a wise lady, okay? Someone we should aspire to be near or emulate, okay? And Mr. Ryan's lesson talked about the lady who's not wise, the lady who's going to lead us down the wrong path, and he talked about consequences. You know what consequences are? What are the consequences? Consequences is the things that happen because of the choices you make, okay? And sometimes you choose the wrong path And there's consequences, okay? And sometimes God allows those consequences to be severe. You could even call them perhaps punishments, okay? But they're also reminders. They're reminders to, hey, follow God's word. Because if you don't, there's going to be consequences, okay? And that was one of the main themes of Mr. Ryan's lesson last week in chapter 5. Now we're in chapter 6, okay? I'm going to read a portion of Scripture. We're going to go from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. Then we're going to jump forward to verse 16, 17, 18, and 19, okay? So we're going to read verse 1 to 5 right now. I'm going to read it to you, then we're going to talk about it. My son, if you put up security for your neighbor and have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son. Now, this is advice from like a dad to a son or a daughter. You know, somebody who loves you is giving you this advice. Okay? If you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son. Save yourself, for you've come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, this is talking about how you deal with money, okay? Money, all right? This is talking about kind of like co-signing a loan. Does anybody know what borrowing money is? You borrow money, like you don't got any money, but you want something really bad, and you say, okay, I'm going to borrow the money and I'm going to buy it, okay? And then I got to pay the money back, right? Well, this is talking about, let's say I borrowed money and I bought something and I got it, but I owe the money, but I convinced you to pay the money if I'm not able to pay the money. Okay? So if I say, oh no, I don't have any money, I can't pay it back, then they're going to say, now you got to pay it back. Now, is that generally a wise choice to make with your money? No. Because I could just say, oh man, I'm sorry, I can't pay that back. Sorry, you have to pay it back now. So the Bible is teaching us now to not let yourself get in a situation where you agree to pay somebody else's loan back. You guys understand that? Now, generally speaking, that is not a good idea, and it's exactly what the Bible's talking about right here. Okay, now, I understand. Whoa, my bookmark. I understand you guys are, you know, elementary school age, and you probably don't do a lot of borrowing and a lot of lending and a lot of business transactions, but this is something to consider, okay, something to consider as you grow up and get older, okay? If somebody says, oh, man, I borrowed a bunch of money and I can't pay it back, can you pay it back for me? Or can you agree to pay it back if I'm not able to? You got to think long and hard about that, okay? Because you might be setting yourself up for a bad money decision, okay? Everybody understand where I'm going with that? Not going to spend a whole lot of time with that because that's kind of a down-the-road thing for you guys. But generally speaking, agreeing to pay somebody else's loan, not a good business decision, not a good wise decision for your money, okay? Now, we're going to move on to something else. That's called like avoiding debt, avoiding having to pay debt, okay? Now we're going to talk about avoiding laziness. Does anybody have a battle with laziness in their lives? Sometimes you just feel like a lazy bump on a log. Man, all I want to do is just sit around and eat Ho-Hos and drink Coca-Cola. I'm not doing anything today. Yeah? Sometimes I battle that too. Maybe some other grown-ups do. But the Bible says, no, 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 we shouldn't be lazy. We should try to be diligent. And the Bible gives us an example here of an animal who's pretty diligent, pretty hardworking, okay? Anybody have a clue who it is before I start reading? What kind of animal is always busy and working? Anybody got any guess?
A bird?
Meh, nah, maybe. That might be a good example. Not the one the Bible uses. Anybody know which one the Bible uses? The ant, yes. Yeah, I know, kind of ooh, but ants are busy, man. They get stuff done. They're busy. You never see an ant just kind of sitting there. They're never kind of sitting there, are they? They're all running around. Let's see what the Bible says about the ant, okay? And this is talking about avoiding laziness in our daily lives. Go to the ant, oh sluggard. Sluggard means lazy person. Okay, consider the ants' ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, nobody telling them what to do, they prepare their bread in summer and they gather their food in harvest. Okay, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? That's lazy person. When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. The Bible's warning us about laziness, okay? If you just sit around and do nothing, how are you going to take care of yourself? Or if you're an adult, maybe you're a mom or a dad when you grow up, how are you going to be able to take care of your family if all you do is sit around and do nothing? Okay, the Bible's warning us. No, avoid laziness. Get busy. Get busy working. Get busy doing things. Okay, everyday things like, you know, maybe you have a job. Okay, when I was about maybe 13, I got a job cutting grass. And that's how I got some money. And then I could go out and buy things for myself. Right? You guys might be a little young to get jobs, aren't you? But you might do things around your house. Maybe your mom says, clean your room. Maybe your mom says, help with this. And she might give you an allowance and give you a couple dollars so that you can use for yourself, maybe. In some families, it works different ways. Okay. But here's what the Bible's saying here. If you're lazy, there's consequences. You're going to go without. You're not going to have enough food or enough money to buy food. You're not going to be able to take care of yourself or your family members. But look at what the ant does. The ant's always gathering up food for the winter months, okay? The ant doesn't go without. The ant's working, busy all the time, gathering food and making sure the ants all have food, okay? So we're supposed to be busy, not being lazy, okay? We're supposed to be diligent. We're supposed to work hard. Okay, so we don't go lacking. Lacking means you don't have it. You don't have what you need. Okay, if you sit around and be lazy, you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to lack the things you need. Okay, everybody understand what we're talking about there? Okay, so the Bible's warning us about debt, warning us about paying off somebody else's loan. Now the Bible's warning us about laziness. You don't want to be lazy. Okay, if you're feeling kind of lazy and you're fighting that battle, just get up, okay? This could be hard for adults sometimes. We're tired, we're sleeping, then our alarm goes off. And what do we do sometimes when our alarm goes off? And we hit snooze and go back to sleep. Oh no, I want to sleep some longer, no. But we ought to just get up and start our day, okay? We set that alarm for a reason. It's time to get up and start moving. Start working or start getting the kids ready for school, you know, alarms are there for a reason. Okay, we need to fight that laziness, okay? Everybody understand what the Bible's teaching here? Avoid debt, avoid laziness. Now we're going to fast forward to verse 16, okay? And there's some things that the Bible just comes right out and says, God doesn't like this activity. God doesn't like this, okay? I'm going to read verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Okay, they're kind of using a literary tool here to set up a list. Now, obviously, this isn't a full list of everything God does not like and approve of, but here are some things. Let's listen and see what we know what they are. One of them I had to look up. I wasn't sure. Okay, haughty eyes. Anybody know what haughty eyes means? I had to look this one up. It means you're proud, you're arrogant. You look down on other people. You think you're something else. You think you're so great. And you think all the other people are just bleh, not worth nothing. Okay? We're not supposed to be like that, are we? No, going back to humility, right? We talked about that at the beginning of the lesson. Okay? So we don't want to have haughty eyes or a proud look. Okay? We don't want to be too puffed up and full of ourselves. Quiet down now. We're almost done. Quiet down. Okay? So, verse 17. The next thing God does not like or approve of, actually the Bible says he hates, a lying tongue. Should we tell the truth all the time? Yes. Because the truth's going to come out eventually, okay? Okay? My mom and dad used to tell me a saying, it ain't hard to tell the truth. You just got to remember what happened. But when you start making up lies, you got to think, oh, brother, what lie did I tell before? Ooh, does that go with the lie I told before? And I got to get my story straight. Well, if you're telling the truth, That ain't hard, because you just have to know what happened and say it, okay? So the Bible says, a lying tongue, get rid of that. No lies. Don't want lies, okay? Continuing, verse 17, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's people who are mean and violent, hurting people. We don't want to be like that, right? We don't want to be like that. Okay, number 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. That means all you do is sit around and think of ways to be mean and rotten. Okay, is that what you guys do all day long? Sit around and think, how can I be mean and rotten to my brother or my sister or my neighbor or that person at school? Is that the way we ought to be? No. Bible says God hates that, a heart that devises wicked plans. Okay? Here's another one. Feet that make haste to run to evil. Okay? You just can't wait to get out and misbehave and do something rotten and terrible. You know the right thing to do, don't you? But you're like, I don't want to do the right thing. I'm going to disobey and do this wrong thing. And you're like, I'm going to go do the bad thing. Bible says, nope, God doesn't like that. God doesn't approve of that. Okay? Verse 19, a false witness. This kind of goes back to lying, okay? A false witness who breathes lies, okay? If somebody asks you, hey, what happened over there? Should you tell a story, a big whopper story that makes you look good? Or should you tell the truth? Should you tell a big whopper lie that makes that other guy look like he did something wrong when really you're the one who did something wrong? You shouldn't lie, okay? The Bible says right here, God hates a false witness who breathes out lies. We don't want to be lying, okay? And then lastly, at the end of verse 19, the Bible says God hates one who sows discord among brothers. What does that mean? One who sows discord. Anybody have a guess? It's a thing that God doesn't like if you're sowing discord. And it has nothing to do with a needle and thread. Okay? Sowing discord means you're a trouble starter. You're just telling gossip, and you're just talking behind people's back, and you just can't wait to start trouble. Should we be like that?
No!
The Bible expressly says right here, God hates when people do that. Okay? So we shouldn't sow discord. We shouldn't be a trouble starter. Okay? We shouldn't pour gasoline on that trouble fire and make it blow up. No! We should be the one who tries to calm people down. We should be the one who tries to say, you know, what does God's word want me to do in this situation? Okay, and I understand. How old am I again? Everybody remembers?
50.
I'm an old guy, right? But one time, I was 10, I was 12, I was 14. I know how it is to be a kid. It's been a long time. I'm starting to forget. I know it's tough. But listen to the teaching of your Sunday school teachers, your ABC Kids teachers. They love you. They want what's best for you. They want you to follow the path that adheres to God's word. They don't want you to follow the path that leads to consequences, trouble, discord, okay? All right, so those seven things there, God does not like. Somebody who's proud and arrogant and looks down on others, somebody who lies, okay, somebody who's being violent and hurting innocent people, somebody who's just thinking of ways to be wicked all the time, okay, somebody who's in a hurry to run and start some evil and do some evil thing, okay, somebody who's a false witness who doesn't tell like it really happened, and then somebody who sows discord, somebody who's a trouble starter. Are you a trouble starter? Look in the mirror honestly. Am I a trouble starter? If you are, I would advise you to stop that. Try your best to stop that. And if you're not, I would advise you to avoid that, okay? Are you treating others nicely in your neighborhood, in your school, in your family, okay? Are you submitting to God? Are you being humble, okay? Are you revering and having respect for God's word? Those are all themes in Proverbs, okay? Proverbs is a book that's just chock full of wisdom, okay? Are we going to follow God's path? And generally speaking, it's going to work out better for you. Or are you going to follow the unwise path? And generally speaking, it's going to cause consequences, troubles. Troubles, troubles, troubles. Okay? Anybody ever whack their brother in the head or whack their sister in the head? How'd it turn out? Did it turn out good for you or did you get in trouble?
It turned out pretty good for me.
No, I'm guessing you turned out in trouble, didn't you? Let's be honest now. Yeah, you get in trouble. Because usually the little guy goes, Mom! And then you're in trouble. But you shouldn't have whacked them in the first place, right? Even if you think they deserved it, you shouldn't have whacked them in the first place. Okay? So everybody understand what we're getting at here? Avoiding debt, avoid laziness, be like the ant, be busy. Not just busy for busy's sake, but busy doing things you know you ought to do. Okay? And then there was that list of seven things that God does not want to see us be doing. Okay? All right. We can end up a little early here tonight. Let's have a quick commercial for Sunday school. What time is Sunday school?
9:30.
Excellent. I would love to see all your bright, shining, smiley faces here at Sunday school. Okay? If you're able to come to Sunday school, please come to Sunday school. Okay? Quiet down. Quiet down. Please come to Sunday school. We would love to have you. Bring your Bibles and be ready to learn. Because every teacher in our Sunday school group loves their kids and wants to teach them from God's Word. Okay? Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll be done and then we'll start our memory time. Okay? Thank you for your attention tonight. Okay? Are we going to be nice to our brothers and our family members and our schoolmates? Or are we going to whap them in the head? No! That's the last thing I wanted to hear. You're just joking with me. No whapping heads now. All right? Quiet down, quiet down. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll go to a group time. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this brief lesson we've had here in Proverbs chapter 6. Help us to avoid bad business decisions and taking on the debt of others. Help us to avoid laziness. Help us to be busy doing what you would want us to do. And help us to really avoid this list of seven terrible, terrible activities that we actually should not be doing. Help us to not sow discord. Help us to not shed innocent blood. Help us to not lie. Lord, we know those are just going to end badly for us and for others. It's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt us. Please forgive us of our sins, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.